Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Listen to God's word. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, and the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a tied there a colt. Has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it there. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So whose where sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out.' As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from Psalms 31, verses 9 through 16. Listen to God's word. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am distressed. My eyes waste away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I've become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Palm Sunday is officially the last Sunday in Lent. And by this point, the lighting of candles has become a part of our Lenten rhythm. Week after week, we have watched the light grow, starting with just one flame in the Christ candle and then adding more each Sunday. Each time we pause at the beginning of worship to hear the meaning behind it. The lengthening of light, drawn from our Lenten devotional and the season of spring, marking the growth of Jesus' movement and the growing light of God's presence in a world still full of shadows. And the light is lengthening, not just in the sky, but in our hearts. And not in a shallow or sentimental way, but as a way of living more deeply into the movement of Jesus. A journey toward hope, yes, but hope that tells the truth about suffering. Because here's what we know. As the light grows longer, the shadows stretch too. We don't always talk about that part, but it's just as real. That's why, alongside the candles, we introduced another Lenten practice on Ash Wednesday, one you may remember or may have walked quietly by on your way in or out of worship in these last weeks. We call them shadow prayer boxes, and they've been available near our worship spaces through all Lent. But on Ash Wednesday, they were up front. And during that service, Pastor Rebecca spoke about the Book of Lamentations, a book full of honest grief and sorrow. She reminded us of something that might sound strange in a culture that tends to avoid pain, that lament is holy, that we don't have to rush to resolution, that God meets us not only in joy, but also in heartbreak and confusion and longing. So that night, here in this sanctuary, we handed out blank cards, and we invited you to write shadow prayers, the things you've been carrying for yourself, your family, your community, or the world. And we placed those cards in locked boxes, trusting that they would be held, even if they were never spoken aloud. Since then, those boxes have been right there, quiet, steady, near the doors. Maybe you did write something weeks ago. Maybe you added one recently. Maybe you didn't know they were there. But I want you to know this. Your pastors, Rebecca, Barbara, and I, have been praying over those boxes every week, not reading the cards, not knowing who wrote what, but holding space for what they represent, praying for you, for your shadows. I have personally been carrying those prayers with me every day in my spirit. I don't know what's inside, but I know what they mean. They are witness to the truth that many among us are walking through things others and we ourselves cannot always see. They remind me that even the brightest path can still be touched by darkness, that every light, no matter how steady, casts a shadow. And today, Palm Sunday, is the day those two realities, light and shadow, come together. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples ahead to find a colt, not a war horse, not a stallion, just a young, ordinary animal. It's such an intentional choice. It's not flashy. It's not triumphant in the usual way. Jesus enters the city humbly, vulnerably, knowing full well he's stepping into danger and into the heart of human pain. As he rides in, the disciples begin to shout. The crowd gathers. People lay down cloaks in the road. There is joy. There is singing. There is genuine celebration. But the shadow is never far behind. Luke includes a moment the other Gospels do not. As Jesus nears the city, just after the celebration begins, he pauses. He looks over Jerusalem and he weeps. I wonder if it's because he could see what was coming. He knew how misunderstood he was. I imagine he could sense this hurt the city was holding and the pain that would unfold. And even as the crowd cheers, Jesus knows. The light is lengthening, yes, but so are the shadows. He doesn't turn around. He keeps going, but he weeps as he walks into it. And something about that has always stayed with me. Jesus doesn't force joy and he doesn't deny pain. He allows himself to feel the full weight of what's ahead, and still, he moves forward toward the depth of human reality, toward us. This whole season, we've been exploring what it means to come back to life, not just spiritually, but emotionally, physically, relationally. And if we've learned anything from these weeks of candles and prayers, it's that coming back to life is not a tidy or linear process. Sometimes coming back to life feels like celebration. Sometimes it feels like weeping outside the city gates. Sometimes it feels like writing a prayer on a card and trusting God to hold it. Sometimes it feels like lighting another candle and daring to hope. And sometimes, let's be honest, it feels like all of that at the same time. That's why I love the psalm we read this morning. Psalm 31 is a psalm of lament, and I think in many ways mirrors so much of what we lifted up here in this sanctuary on Ash Wednesday. It says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My life is spent with sorrow, and my strength fails." The psalmist is not pretending. This is not a feel-good at all costs faith. This is raw, real, spiritual honesty. And yet, right in the middle of that grief, the psalmist says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand." Not my life is great. Not everything is fixed, just my times are in your hand. That, to me, is what Holy Week faith looks like. Not certainty, not perfection, but trust that even in shadow, we are not abandoned. So let me ask you gently, where are you seeing light in your life right now? And where are the shadows? Maybe this Lent opens something new in you, a shift in perspective, a step toward healing. Or maybe it's been hard. Maybe you felt stuck or sad or afraid. Whatever is true for you, there is room for it here, because Jesus enters all of it, the praise and the pain, the celebration and the sorrow, the hosannas and the heartbreak, and he doesn't just visit those places. He stays. He walks the road through them for us and with us. In the days to come, in this holiest of weeks, we will be invited to gather again at the table on Maundy Thursday, in the shadows on Good Friday, reversing the rhythm we've kept all season as these candles are extinguished one by one. And for a moment, we will sit in darkness. But it will not be the end. Because here is the truth. The shadow never gets the final word. Not in this sanctuary, not in your life, not in God's story. And so today, we wave our palms. We sing Hosanna and we light candles, holding fast to the hope that love is stronger than death and trusting that God is moving even in our sorrow. And we remember Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even when it's hard to see what's ahead, even when we carry unspoken prayers, even when we don't know what to say. Blessed is the one who comes. And blessed are you who come with your light and your shadow, with your trust and your doubt, with your longing and your love. You are not alone. Your prayers are held. Your burdens are carried. And the light is still growing. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.